Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Off the Air Radio Show, brought to you live every Friday night on the Vibe Radio Network from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. From the Gun Room in Speedway, Indiana, I am your host, Aldo Gonzalez, moderator of the modicum, interviewer of the intelligent, and guiler of my guests. This is the place where I talk about anything and everything that interests me and where my guests are mighty, brave, and full of all sorts of useful information that will not make any of us rich, but only provide some entertainment for your Friday nights. No story is off limits. No guest is too big or too small. We may use profanity, so if certain words offend you, here is my apology for that now. We will always attempt to be professional. But in the end, we just want to have fun, laugh, and enjoy each other's strange and curious stories. That being said, make sure you've already gone to the bathroom, that you've got your cup of coffee or cup of tea or soda nearby, that your dog is sleeping soundly at your feet, and that the cat has already been brought inside, because we will take no commercial breaks. It's just going to be me, you, and my guest for the next hour. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, and thank you so very much for tuning in to my little radio show here. We are the show that your friends have told you time and again, but they have a great personality. Tonight's show is brought to you by Clear Choice Restoration, your helping hand when it comes to hail, wind, and storm damage. Most people don't even know that they may indeed have damage to their roofs or gutters or sidings. And with all the storms that's hit Indiana the past couple of weeks, Clear Choice is the people you need to call to get the damage fixed. Call Clear Choice Restoration for a free roof inspection and tell them that Al sent you. In Indiana, call 317-358-8630. That's 317-358-8630. Call and schedule for your free inspection today. Before we get to my mighty guest, I just want to talk to you quickly about one weird thing. And when I say one weird thing, it reminded me, because I was thinking about this today when I was driving on the road, it reminded me of Creed from the television show The Office. Creed said one time, one of the funniest things on television, he said on the show, he said that he likes to use the women's restroom to go number two. And that's his one weird thing. Well, today I was running around like a madman. I had a meeting in Broad Ripple at 10:30 and then had to run out to Lafayette to be there at 1 o'clock for another appointment. I barely made it, but after a very large coffee, after being on two different roofs, after an hour drive, I had to go to the bathroom, and I was thinking of Creed, because when I rolled up over to Subway, wouldn't you know it, the men's room was busy. So after watching like three ladies go in and out of their restroom, I decided that whatever was taking the man in my restroom that long, I just wasn't prepared to know. So I strolled on into the ladies' room and locked the door behind me. I did my business and was greeted by a very confused lady on the other side of the door once I stepped out. I smiled and I said, I just wanted to find my safe place. And she was a millennial, so I figured she understood. That was my one weird thing today. So tonight, call me up. If you have your one weird thing and you want to share it on air tonight, I'm more than willing, more than able to put you on air. I want to hear your one weird thing. So we'll get with you just as soon as we can. The call-in number for the show tonight is 516-387-1922. 516-387-1922. If you're calling in just to listen to the show, you may get on the air, because I don't know the difference between the people who are just listening to the show on their phones and those who actually want to have a question. So if you're calling in to listen, be prepared. I'm going to pull you up on the air. I am so very excited, very, very excited to have both my guests here tonight with me, both of whom I believe are very smart, very intuitive, fun to talk with, and no slackers when it comes to the paranormal, ghosts, demons, spooks, etc., all of that crazy stuff. They're just regular people outside of the paranormal, too. Sometimes whenever we start to talk to people about our interests in ghosts and hauntings, we can easily get kind of painted into a corner that we're just the paranormal type, but and that's all that we do. But it's not. You know, I am not an investigator. This show is not just a paranormal talk show. It's about anything I want it to be, and that's the way I want it. But right now, what's been on my mind and what's been kind of in my life has been paranormal stuff. So I'm pulling people from Facebook and people I've been talking to a lot about different stuff. I'm pulling them online and talking to them on the show. That's what makes it fun for me. It's what I want to do. And I'm just in the paranormal world, I was just simply an unwilling paranormal participant. You know, I lived in a haunted house. I didn't prepare for it. I wrote a few books. I was on the television show about my experiences, but that does not make me a person who lives and breathes all those things that go bump in the night. It's the same with our guests tonight. So that being said, I want to, start off by giving you some background on our first guest, Clarissa Haler. She's a paranormal investigator. She's a medium empath, an operator of the Facebook page Readings by Clarissa, where she does empathic readings online for people. And while you have the show, the radio show playing in the background, why don't you go ahead and look her up on Facebook and give her page a like. It's Readings by Clarissa. She's also a member of the BSR paranormal team that does all sorts of investigations throughout the Midwest. She'll also be co-authoring a book with me this summer that I'm very excited about. It's a book called The Cellar Door, of which I can't express to you how excited I am to be working with her on that project. So that being said, welcome, Clarissa. How are you tonight?
Hi, Al. I'm actually doing really good. Really excited to be able to be on with you.
I'm excited to have you on. I hear that you're sitting in your car because your house is full of little boys running around, and you may not be able to find a safe place in your house to talk, right?
That is true. My son is having a little slumber party, which you don't call it a slumber party when you're a boy.
What do you call it?
Hiding out in my car. I have no idea.
What do you call
it?
You're a boy. You don't know? Well, you and I talk a lot. You know, we talk about all different sorts of things. Now we have a book that we're co-authoring together. We talk about a bunch of different stuff, you know. But why don't you tell the listeners about Readings by Clarissa? What do you do, and how can people get signed up to talk with you?
Well, when I first started doing the readings online, I used a pendulum a lot, and I would do it over the messenger. If you reached out to me, I would get back to you as soon as I can, and I would just do the readings kind of over the messenger. I kind of strayed away from the pendulum a little bit. I've now been doing, I still use the pendulum, but it's more of just like, I just hold on to it for the energy it holds. But what I do now is more of photo readings, and I'd really love to get more into actually visiting places and actually trying to read the, you know, actual buildings and structures and the history. So right now, those are the two main things I am doing is photo readings. It could be either for the deceased or the living. And then I'd really love to get into structural readings.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool, especially the structural readings, because it just seems to me like there are certain buildings that we go into that just hold a lot of energy. Old hospitals. Think all of the tragedy and sadness and even happiness, like if it was in a maternity ward, you know. There's just a lot of energy in buildings. And that's just like a hospital, but think of bars. You know, people go into bars and they sit at the bar, they're depressed, they're drinking booze, and you know, now that that person's been sitting empty for 40 years, but you know what, it really hasn't been empty. There's probably all kinds of energy and things going on in those places, right?
Absolutely. Structures hold energies just like people hold energy, and everybody's got history just like those buildings do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you and I are co-authoring a book this summer and fall. Are you prepared? Are you ready?
I am pretty prepared, I would say. I've never wrote an actual book. I have wrote short stories and poems, and that's about as far as it's gone. But I am really excited to get to do this project with you.
Yeah, it's called The Cellar Door. It's kind of like my take on Edgar Allan Poe type poetry and prose with a psychological thriller attitude. Without giving too much detail, why don't you tell me about your role in the book? What exactly are you going to be writing about?
Well, my role in the book is I'm actually going to be writing for just one of the characters. And she is going to be interacting with a character that Al, or characters, depending on what we do, with Al. And we're just basically not going to know what each other's writing, but we're going to correspond together.
Yeah, the interesting thing is what I like about this book is we know where we want to be at the end of the book. We kind of know the ending. But how we're writing this is I'm writing from the perspective of the man, and you're writing from the perspective of the woman. And then you'll read that, and then you'll come up with what is her response to that, you know? And so it's going to be, I like that idea. It's something I've never heard of before. I'm kind of proud that I kind of came up with it. It sounds interesting, and there's going to be poetry in it and prose, and I hope that you'll write more of the poetry than I will, because I am not good at that type of thing. But I'm excited about it. It's going to be a fun project. We're going to take summer and fall to do it. We hope that it'll be out by December 15th, where people can get it in time for Christmas. Thank you to do that. So that's going to be fun, right? Are you excited? I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm absolutely excited. It's going to be a different journey for me, but it's going to be real good.
Yeah, I can't tell you how excited I am to be working with you on this. It's going to be a killer book, literally a killer book. So
yep,
Clarissa's going
to
stick around with us. Yeah, I am too. Clarissa's going to stick around with us for the rest of the night. She's going to be on. And now I want to introduce you to our next guest, Jen Jacobs. She is the founder of BSR Paranormal. She's a paranormal investigator of 20 years. She's now the special report agent for North American Dogman Project, NADP. So let's welcome Jen. Jen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Al. How you doing? Hi, Clarissa.
Is there? Oh, she is there.
I'm here.
Jen and Clarissa are on the same BSR Paranormal. Yeah, we can hear you fine. Yeah, they're both on the BSR Paranormal. And Jen, why don't you tell us a little bit about the North American Dogman Project? What is that? What do you do? What's its purpose? Tell us a little bit about it.
The North American Dogman Project is based out of Ohio. Jody Cook is the founder. He's investigated anything from ghosts to aliens to Bigfoot to now dogmen. He's wrote several books. He's a very nice guy, very informative. And he is bringing in different teams from different states to run chapters. And I am lucky enough to have joined these guys. And we are going to be running the chapter out of Indiana. And the purpose is to be dedicated to investigating and educating the public about dogmen. It's a newer phenomenon that's come around in the last
Why don't you do just that right now? Because I have to tell you, I've heard about dogmen. I have no idea what it is. You're going to have to kind of what does a dog man look like? How many of them are out there roaming the streets at night? What kind of danger are we all in? Because there's obviously dogmen in Indiana, or we wouldn't have a chapter of the North American Dogman Project here. So why, explain that. Educate us.
Well, when you stay out there in the streets, literally they can be in the streets. They are in the country. They're in the cities. They've been seen in New York. They've been seen in Chicago, the bigger cities too. They are not fearful of humans. Their purpose in life is to put fear into people. And since we're expanding further into the country, it's becoming more known that they're around. And they actually have family units also.
Art, so are they literally dogs?
They're canine-like creatures. They're most similar to werewolves, but most people compare them to, most that have seen them compare them to the Van Helsing werewolves is what most of them look like. There's several different types. There's probably four variants on it. If you Google dogman types, you'll see all the different photos. They're very prominent. There you have the Beast of Bray Road. Then you have the Michigan Dogman, and we're very close to Michigan. And I believe that has a lot to do with them being seen in Indiana.
Well, you know, I'm a big believer in Bigfoot. I believe Bigfoots exist. I hope one day that I will be able to put my eyes on one and see one. But, you know, I also think that it's probably unlikely that, like, Bigfoots are in Indianapolis and in Fort Wayne. They may be in southern Indiana, but even that's like a stretch for me. I just can't believe that there's a Bigfoot in Indiana, right? I would think that Bigfoots live, like, in the northwest of the states, maybe up in Canada and stuff like that. So when you talk about Bigfoots, I'm, like, all on board. But when you talk about Dogman, it's a little bit harder for me to get on board for the Dogman, especially since, I am kind of ignorant of it. Maybe they've been talked about for ages, but I've not really heard much about them. So tell me what's the big difference between the Dogman cryptid and the Bigfoot cryptid?
Bigfoots, they have more human-like features. Compared to dogmen, they look more like a German Shepherd or a Doberman. Like I said, they look like the Van Helsing werewolves. Then also, dogmen can go on four legs like a canine, or they can walk on two legs like a human, compared to most of the time when you see a Bigfoot, they're on 2 feet. The Bigfoots vary in size as well as the dogmen. The Bigfoot feet are more like human feet, and they have toes. As to where dogmen have more of a canine feet with very sharp claws. Bigfoot have more like hands, and then dogmen have more, they've been described as raccoon hands with very large claws on them.
Now, have you actually seen any dogmen in Indiana?
I have had an experience with one.
No, you've seen them in Indiana. Was it in Indiana or was it in Ohio?
It was in Fort Wayne.
Like Fort Wayne.
There's been a few sightings. Fort Wayne, Wayne, yes.
Wow.
There's been a couple sightings in Fort Wayne.
Do you think the dog man is more of a spiritual type entity, or are they like flesh and blood? So if I pulled my brother's .45 out and shot it in the head, it's going to die.
It's not really going to harm it, but it might bleed. They're very resilient. But it has been, this is a theory out there, that most dogmen are around Indian burial grounds. Fort Wayne has lots of Indian history in it. Also,
right
three
on.
Other, you need water, woods, and cornfields. I lived out off of, I'm not sure how familiar you are with Fort Wayne. I lived north off of Cook and Huguenard out by US 33. And I have woods, water, cornfields, and once again, Fort Wayne's had Indian burial grounds all around it.
Why are dog men around Indian burial grounds? That makes me think that they're more spiritual than they are physical.
Right. They some folks have said possibly they're protectors. I really can't say for myself. That's one of the reasons I'm interested in investigating it.
Yeah, I think it needs to be investigated, especially if people are seeing these things. Now, I'm kind of a skeptic still because it seems so odd to me. But, I mean, literally, I lived in a haunted house for 7 years. So what kind of skeptic can I be anymore? The things I experienced, I would have scoffed at years before I experienced it. So it's just a strange thing. But now that you're kind of relating them to like Indian burial grounds, I know I lived in Fort Wayne for 30 years. So I know that Fort Wayne is just, it is rich with Indian history, and lots of, there's still lots of very intact Indian burial mounds there, and I've seen many of them. So if you're telling me that they're still kind of around the Indian burial grounds, I'm a little bit more on board. I'm a little bit more on believing that they can be around and do that. If you were going to tell me they were dogs that walked on their hind feet looking through my garbage cans at night and chased the raccoons out of my soffits, I would say you're a little crazy. But here's the thing. I mean, I lived in Northeast Indiana for a long time, and you know, it's really one of the most paranormally active places, I believe, in the entire United States. People don't get that about, especially Fort Wayne, how valuable Fort Wayne was to Indians for the last thousands of years. They have been at the epicenter of those three rivers in Fort Wayne, in the Fort Wayne area, for thousands of years. So it seems as though you can go just about anywhere in Fort Wayne, and you can talk with just about anyone in Fort Wayne, and they've got a story to tell you about some weird thing that's happened to them. So Clarissa, what do you think about that? Why is it that Northeast Indiana is so active spiritually and paranormally, and now we got dogmen running around up there?
Well, for me personally, I agree about the whole Indian aspect of it. I mean, Indiana had multiple tribes up here. Their religion is very spiritual, and they're very connected with the land that they lived on. And so a lot of their energy remains here. And, you know, when the white settlers came in, it was a lot different. But for the Indians, they're just so connected. They were already spiritually connecting. I believe they were absolutely spiritually connecting with, you know, deceased at that time even. You know, it wasn't just what we see here today. I mean, they connected with the land. They connected with the deceased. They were always giving out energy and receiving energy of different types. So I think the Indian thing is a huge reason why we have so much activity up here.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize this, but the old YWCA out on Well Street, it's now the Horizon Christian School. That used to be the old YWCA, but before the YWCA, it was a Catholic orphanage type of a thing. And that site right there where that YWCA is on Well Street is actually a part of a very, very large glacial came, is what it's called. It's a place where Indians came and they set up their camp. And they had spiritual dances and offerings to all of their dead relatives. There was seven mounds back there. There's only like three of them that you can tell now, but the largest one's right behind the gymnasium there by the soccer field, and you can see that it is an Indian burial mound. And there is a tremendous amount of old Indian activity. You know, from thousands of years, though. And I'm right there with you. What do you think? You got anything to say about that, Jen?
You can feel the energy when you drive by it. You can just feel it. I've always wanted to investigate there, but they won't let us in the building. And
when you
drive by, you can feel it.
Yeah, I know a few years back we did the Haunted Well Street tour with the Parasisters up there, and I did the last leg of that tour, and it was right there where the Horizon School was, and actually talking to the principal there, he was going to allow us to into the school and investigate some of the tunnels under there. And it was interesting, when I was given the tour, one of the girls came up and she said, "I used to go to this school," and she said none of the teachers would allow anybody into the tunnels without another person. You can't go into the tunnels alone. And so this is a Christian school, and even they knew that it was had some spiritual activity, and they just didn't want people walking around by themselves. And I think it's because, one, those huge Indian mounds, that glacial came, as well as, two, it was an orphanage. And when those kids got dropped off at the wide Catholic orphanage, it was because their families couldn't take care of them anymore. They didn't have any money. You know, they were sick or whatever. And then if those kids died, they buried them right there in the backyard. So there's a lot of activity right there, not only Indian, but, you know, little kids, poor little guys.
Yeah.
How did you guys first come to realize that, you know, the paranormal and ghosts and now dog man, et cetera, is something that for which that you could really get into, something that is that you wanted to invest some of your time and your money and your resources and your weekends and time away from your family and to do some research into, you know, Jen, tell me, you know, what got you into the paranormal?
When I was 4 years old, I saw an elemental spirit looking in the window, smiling at me. I was kind of freaked out at first, and after that, it just became normal. It's an elemental is a woodish creature, is the way I understand it. I don't want to say it wrong here, but it's more, the way I understand it, it's like a creature that would be out in nature.
Oh, yeah? You said wooded as in the woods, not wooded as in it was a tree looking through your window.
Well,
oh, okay.
Well, it was
just
very
want to make sure.
Looking. Yeah.
What did it look like?
It did remind me of a tree. It smiled. It had big eyes. And it was a really dark little creature. That's all I remember. And
it was
looking
a little
in my
creature?
Mom's. Yes, it was a little creature, and I have no idea how it got up to the window, but I remember looking out, and it looked right at me. Yeah.
That's weird, because I've heard people talk about gnomes and stuff, and I have heard of gnomes before, but like in video games I played and stuff, but I've heard just in the last couple of weeks that people see little fellas running around. So maybe that's what you were seeing.
I saw something.
That's crazy.
It's been 30-some years ago, but I remember it.
And so that's kind of what got you interested in the paranormal and doing all this crazy stuff now, huh?
Yeah, my grandparents' house was haunted. And I know the Ligonier Library it still is. And you can feel the energy downstairs there. And from there, it just expanded into other things. And I eventually joined a team in Fort Wayne, became the director of that team. And there was too much drama for me, so I quit and started my own. And from there, I've been quite successful, and Clarissa joined me about a year ago.
Clarissa, what got you in interested in the paranormal and doing all this?
Well, I, too, did have experiences as a young child. I lived in a haunted house from the age of 8 to 13, I believe. That's my favorite house ever, even though it was haunted. but for me, a lot of it was I did not go out and reach out to get into the paranormal for years. But the paranormal kind of came to me. Whether I liked it or not, I still had, you know, I would still have, mine started out with vivid dreams, and then I would start seeing things, and then I would have so much deja vu, like not like your average deja vu, just very vivid, like it just happened way too much and way too often. I knew I was really intuitive with other people. I always always should have believed in everything that I thought the first time I met someone, always, because in pretty much everybody's the same way. They just don't realize it is your intuition is means a lot. So for me, it was, you know, whether or not I wanted to dig into the paranormal or not, it kind of just came to my life as opposed to me going out and searching for it. But these past couple of years, I got really curious about it and started doing the readings and then also joined the BSR Paranormal about a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me, too. You know, when I didn't believe in the stuff. I never really had any experiences. And then I moved into that haunted house, and it's like your whole life changes because now you're kind of faced with the things that you never believed before, and you often wonder if you're crazy. So that, you know,
right.
And there is a lot of crazy, lots of crazy in the paranormal. I'm not talking people, even though there are some of those too, but I mean, the paranormal is literally, it's almost by definition, let's talk about the craziest things that could ever happen to somebody, right? So what's some of the crazy things that's happened to you guys on investigations? You guys go out and investigate all over the place, not only like paid locations, you know, famous, well-known places, but you also do, home inspections, home investigations too, right? So tell me, I want to know, what is the craziest thing that has ever happened to you, Jen?
A couple weeks ago, Clarissa caught Slimer on her camera.
Slimer from Ghostbusters?
She has a picture, and the mist looks just like Slimer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She sent me that picture.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yep.
That is,
that
is pretty crazy.
That
is pretty crazy. What is that?
Actually,
yeah, go ahead, Clarissa.
That picture is actually, if you want to see a copy of it, it's actually out there on my Facebook page at Readings by Clarissa. So you can definitely check that out.
Yeah, I know. I think I blew that up and changed some of the coloring background and put it through some filters trying to figure out exactly what it was. I remember that picture. That is a crazy picture. Do you guys ever think that you guys ever think that ghosts just ever just fuck with people, like they do certain, like you guys are out on an investigation, right? And they're like, oh, look, there's another paranormal team in here. I'm going to like really screw around with them, and I'm going to make people think that they're getting evidence, but it's really not, you know, that type of thing. And they're just faking stuff, and then they run off into the corner or the closet or wherever they live, and they're just laughing at you. Do you think ghosts do that?
I do, because if they were jokesters in life, they're going to be the same way when they pass over.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely true. A lot of the deceased, when they do pass, have the same personalities as they did here on Earth. It doesn't really change. If they were a happy person when they were living, they're probably happy and usually content when they're passed. Same thing goes with those angry guys or, you know, those type of people. It's sometimes when they pass, it's not a total release for them.
I know that when I was living at the house towards the end there, we had a paranormal team come in, and we were out in back in my bedroom. And at the time I had moved a lot of the stuff out, and there was just a wooden table back in my bedroom. And I had sat down a recorder on top of the table. And you could hear us all kind of talking, and somebody heard something off in the other room, and, you know, just little things like that. But it was like nothing. It was like nothing. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm getting kind of bored, and I'm like, you know, let's just go out. I want to smoke a cigarette in the garage. And so we're like, all right, let's just all go. And so we start walking out, and you could hear us on the recorder. We're walking down the hallway. You can hear us. And then we walk out the back door, and then you can hear the door close. And then just as soon as that door closed, maybe like 2 seconds after that, there was a wham, the loudest bang you could ever hear. And it was after we had just closed the door and left. I thought to myself, I actually kind of laughed when I heard it on the tape recorder. I'm like, that motherfucker waited for us to leave. We were standing there for like minutes, like 10, 15 minutes waiting for something, and like nothing was going on. And then as soon as we got out of the house, that motherfucker, the to hit the table as loud as he could right there by the recorder.
Yeah, that happens.
Stuff up like that?
Yeah. You'll be asking questions, and then when you come back, you're like, oh, well, I didn't hear that, or I didn't see that. And when I was doing a private investigation one night, this is kind of crazy, we're all sitting there, and there's a shelf in the corner that has a lip on it that's about half an inch to an inch high, and a picture frame just lifted over that lip and just fell straight over. It went out from the shelf about 3 inches and just dropped. And the homeowner said, that's never happened before. I was like, that was kind of crazy, but it was cool at the same time.
Why do ghosts want to throw things all the time? It seems like that's like the best evidence is when they get pissed off and throw things. You think they're, I mean, I don't understand that, because in order for me to pick up that picture frame, I have to have physical hands to pick it up. You know, I can't pick it up with my mind, right? So there's a physical part of me that grabs the picture and then I can drop it onto the floor. But a ghost isn't physical. So how are they actually doing that, and why is it that they want to just throw shit around all the time?
I think because we piss them off and they're like, get out of here. We've actually had EVPs telling us to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, what else was it? I just thought of something that completely left my mind. Oh! I love when I do that. But another thing, Clarissa had seen when we were at, where were we? Tasiosco County Jail? Was the guy hanging in the cell.
Oh, yeah, I really like that place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was another crazy thing.
What happened?
You can fit. We were using an SLS camera. Evelyn, the lady that runs it, has one, and I really, really want one. And she was using hers. I was so excited. I was like, oh, please, will you go hunt with us? So she did and used it, and we kept seeing something moving. And all of a sudden, Clarissa was like, it looked like somebody was hanging, like they would thrash around. And she goes, somebody did hang themselves in that cell. I was like, score for Clarissa.
What, you saw, hold on a second, I'm not following you. Clarissa, you saw somebody hanging?
You can see it on the camera.
No, the SLS camera is a camera that you can see move around, and this entity was just hanging there, and he was, like, not moving, like, his upper half, like, where he was hanging was not moving, but his arms and legs were moving. And so I instantly thought, oh, somebody's hanging there. And lo and behold, somebody did hang themselves in that cell.
So they're like thrashing around with their arms and legs.
Yep.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
That, you know, that makes me think, yeah, that's a pretty scary thing, you know, to see something like, and to me it would be to see something like that. Tell me some of the scariest shit that's ever happened to you. I mean, that, literally, the stuff that would make you want to run home and cry and take a shower.
Who wants to start?
I personally, since I have been investigating for a very short time, I have not had a ton of experiences. Now, there was one particular experience out at Mossburg Cemetery here near Bluffton. I've been meaning to go out there to see if she's still out there, but I was like 14 years old, not into the paranormal, nothing. We were just being teenagers, acting stupid. We're going to go to the grave and see if there was anything scary out there. And we got to the back part where all the old ones was. And this is one of the first times I've ever seen an actual human ghost ever. It was at 14, and it was this little girl, probably about five, six years old. She had a blue dress, blonde hair. She was looking right at me, and we did not even get out of the car. I just start freaking out in the back of the car, like, oh, my God, we have to go. Like, this little girl, I'm sure she was not a threat, but I was 14 years old and had no idea about much of the paranormal.
And you've never gone back to look to find out what was she standing by? Maybe that was – you need to go look at that gravestone to see if that's her headstone.
I believe, now I do believe she's probably buried back there. I have yet to go back there. It's on my bucket list. Just to go back, even if it's just to visit the place. You know, it doesn't have to be investigation, just to visit it. And it's only like 10 miles from me. So there's really no reason that I shouldn't go.
I know that my brother's girlfriend, Anissa's got a really good theory. It's something I've heard before, but, you know, she's kind of expressed it very clearly that she thinks that oftentimes that ghosts or entities will present themselves in an innocent type of manner. Like if I'm standing around in a graveyard and there's something bad there, you know, maybe it gets into my mind and it sees that, you know, that if it presented itself as a little girl, that it won't be something threatening to me. And I'll be like, oh, look at the poor little girl. When in actuality, it's like evil or mean or it wants to get me type of thing. Do you think that that's a real thing?
I've heard that theory before, that demons will do that.
Yeah, not only little girls.
Several times.
Because you hear that a lot. Like I've heard a lot of people when they tell me their stories. I have a lot of opportunities to listen to people, like when I'm doing book signings and stuff. They always want to tell me their stories. And almost everyone is about a little girl. We saw a little girl when we were younger, and there was a little girl in the attic. And there's, you know, we just hear that all the time. And I got to think either little girls don't go to heaven and they're running around as ghosts because there's like a million of them, or that's like the one little innocent thing that evil or dark or malevolent entities can pull out of our brain to see that it's an innocent thing to us. So maybe they can get to us through the little girl, right?
Right. I completely understand that theory.
I absolutely would agree that there are entities that can shapeshift, so to speak, into things that would make you feel comfortable talking to them, whether it be a relative, which I'm sure has happened to a lot of people, or, you know, a small child. A lot of people aren't scared of a small child. Most of the time I'm not scared of small child ghosts, but sometimes it's unsettling. But yeah, I do absolutely believe in the entities taking form of something else.
Jen, have you ever seen a ghost take on a form of like an animal or something like that other than a human?
I haven't, but my mom has. She called me panicked one night and said that something was in her living room beside of her entertainment center. I said, "What is it?" She says, "I don't know." She said it looks like a raccoon, but its hair standing up on its back like a cat when it's scared. And that its paws were on the arm of her recliner.
What?
I was like, so, of course, I'm like, okay. And mind you, she says she doesn't believe any of the paranormal, but yet she calls me and says all this.
Well, how did she know it wasn't a real raccoon?
It appeared and then disappeared.
Oh, man.
And I told her, I said, if you see that again, I said, you take pictures. And so I Googled it, and it was a shadow animal. And and shadow animals do appear like that.
It was a shadaminal.
Yes, it was.
My friend Rebecca Genesis has got a name for it, and I don't remember what she told me last week. She was saying like a paranimal or something like that, a paranormal animal. I like that term. Yeah, you know, I've seen those things in my haunted house, too. I had what we called the crawler, and he looked like a large cat maybe would be. So I've seen those things. They're weird. But what is it about all things ghosts and paranormal that's so frightening? Why can't we have, is it just because it's the unknown? I mean, why can't we see a ghost and just sit down and talk with them and enjoy a conversation and a beer with them? I don't understand. Why is it always so frightening whenever we see something like that?
I would disagree with that statement. For me, it's not always frightening, but you know, when I'm doing readings, I'm going to look at, you know, an entity coming forward or whatever, a little different than maybe some would. So to me, they're not all frightening. Maybe, you know, otherwise I would say it's probably because those, you know, the unknown is scary to a lot of people.
Right. I know I grew up a very religious kid. I went to church every week, twice a week. I was in all sorts of Bible studies, Bible quizzing. There was a time in my life, believe it or not, when I could quote the book of John backwards from the last verse to the very first verse. I mean, I was just that kid. I have a degree in pastoral ministries. I was a pastor of a church for a while, youth pastor, worked in churches for years and years. But it really wasn't until, and this is me speaking for myself, you know, but it really wasn't until I had like my own experience, you know, paranormal experiences, like in that haunted house I was living in, and you know, north of Fort Wayne, and that really made my relationship with God become more of like a more stable and foundational. I think it was something that God kind of put me through, because I am a believer in God. I think it was something that God kind of put me through and made me kind of shed off all the here I am talking about God, and I want to say shed off all the bullshit, but it kind of was, you know, it forced me to get rid of a lot of religious baggage, really, and just kind of focus on Him and my relationship with Him. Why do you believe, or what do you think about that, that in most cases, Christians and the very religious people, they have a real hard time believing in the paranormal, or believing in the spirit realm, or believing in ghosts, or believing in anything outside of angels and demons? Go ahead, Jen.
I really can't say, but I will say this, that one of the girls on the team, someone was talking to her about, oh, I don't believe in ghosts, God protects me, and she goes, you believe in the Holy Ghost, right? And it kind of stumped them. They're like, yeah. And she's like, okay, you believe in ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, that's kind of a good answer.
Right. Well, the Holy Ghost is just a term, really. It's not really a ghost, I wouldn't say. But
right.
I understand what you're saying. There is something bigger than us out there. There's something
I agree.
More important than us out there. There's something that is much, and I say more important in the sense of the grander scheme of things. We are just very minuscule in the universe. And what do you think about that, Clarissa? Because I think you've got a different perspective on that. Why do you think that religious and especially American religious, because I know there's a lot of religions overseas in Africa and religious people in like the Middle East and Eastern religions that really have they're in tune with spirits. They're in tune with the dead. They're, you know,
right.
They believe in us. It's just, like we were talking before, the American Indians, they
right.
would want to be, excuse me, as I'm coughing everywhere, they would want to be buried by a rock, a huge boulder.
Right.
The American Indians want to be buried by a river, a stream, because they believe they would become the stream. They would become the rock. And now their relatives could come and visit them, and they could sit next to the rock and kind of just be a part of their afterlife.
Right. Well, the thing is with Christianity or American, you know, religion or whatever, the whole religious factor is really their focus on you must live your life this way, or you go to heaven or you go to hell. It's all about putting fear into people. That's why you hear the term putting the fear of God into you.
Right.
And I think it's very hard for some who are very highly religious to open their minds up, because they feel like they are, they're breaking one of God's rules, and, you know, how can I accept a ghost would come here, like, you know, and haunt someplace, something like that. That's not what we're taught in church. You die, you go to heaven, you go to hell. That's all there is. So it's really a fear. They fear what they don't know, and they fear that if they believe in something beyond what they're taught in the church, that they're jeopardizing their chance at going to heaven.
Right, right, yeah. You know what, I don't like to call myself religious, but I am very relational with my belief in God, and I'm open about it. I tell people about it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not afraid of it. But I think religion can be some baggage that's hard to carry for a long time. And this must have really struck a chord with some people, because the phones are lit up all of a sudden here. And I've got somebody from Indianapolis calling in, 317-525-7127. I'm going to bring him on the air here real quick. Hi, caller. You're on the air. Who do we got?
Hi, Aldo. This is Anissa. First-time caller.
Hi, Anissa. We were talking about you tonight. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, you was talking about the Indians and the spiritual realm and all that. I want to share a story about my grandmother.
Yes.
I've never experienced anything paranormal at all. If I have, I just wrote it off as something else. But my grandmother had a belief that people that had passed over into heaven could speak to you through the wind. And she had wind chimes all over her front porch. And one day I remember we were sitting on the porch swing, and I asked her, I said, why do you have so many wind chimes? And because sometimes those things would just, they would drive you nuts. Other days they wouldn't make a sound. And she said that, she told me, she said, have you ever noticed on a windy day, the wind chimes may not ring at all?
Hmm.
Yeah. And she said, have you ever noticed the slightest breeze could cause them all to go, you know, to start chiming? And she said, that's a voice from heaven saying hello.
Yeah.
And she truly believed that. And I didn't know if one of your guests may have had any kind of belief that if someone had crossed over to heaven, or what we know as heaven, if they can actually communicate back to us on earth without being stuck here.
What do you think, Clarissa? That's kind of up your alley there.
Well, absolutely they can communicate to you. You hear it all the time with them coming into your dreams. If you ever find something out of place that you haven't seen in years, I've heard stories of people just random artifacts, you know, or not artifacts, but random like photos or really important items to them that they couldn't find for years, just showing up out of nowhere. And that's kind of their way of communicating and saying, hello, I'm still here. Don't forget about me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, Anissa, where was your, this is your grandma you were talking about. Where was she at? What state?
In Tennessee.
Is more towards like the Appalachian Mountains in Tennessee?
No, it was more, northern part of Tennessee. It wasn't so much down in the south where all the mountains are at, but there was a lot of Cherokee Indian where my family is from. On my dad's side of the family, my great-grandmother was full-blooded Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's the same thing that you were talking about, the Indians being so spiritual. That
right.
So it could be the same thing in that area.
Right. Yeah, that's very interesting. We've got another caller. Anissa, thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. We'll probably hear a lot more from you since you're a longtime listener, first-time caller. We got another caller that we're going to bring on the air here, 309-9114. Hello.
What's up, Aldo? It's Rebecca Genesis. How are you?
Rebecca Genesis, one of my favorite people in the entire world. What's up, girl? What's happening?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Clarissa and Jen? Been listening in.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey. Welcome.
Hey,
thank you.
Rebecca, isn't it crazy that we're talking about wind chimes?
Oh, my God.
Is that why you're calling in?
Yeah, I got bad chills. No, I was actually on hold before that because I heard the Shenanimals shenanigan.
Yeah, that's right.
I love that. So it's Shenanimals. I love Shenanimals. It's Phantimals. Phantom animals. So I just wanted to, you know, clarify that. But then, you know, I got to listen to Anissa, and she talked about the wind chimes, and you had just had this dream last week, and it had a bunch of wind chimes, and I told you that I had been walking through a store and saw all these wind chimes, and I was thinking how cool it would be to have all these wind chimes around, and a correlation with my father in wind chimes. And it goes even deeper now. Actually, I get a lot of Cherokee blood from my father's side, and me and him don't talk a whole lot. And so I could tell from interpreting your dream that it was actually a message for me to try to contact my father once again. He's kind of reclusive and whatnot. So basically, yeah, I just I think that's really cool, the whole wind chime, Cherokee communication thing.
Yeah, that was how profound is that? That, you know, I had that dream. I was talking to you about. I was talking to, you know, I think I was talking to Clarissa about it once too. And then it just, like, for you, it just clicked. You just knew what it was.
Yeah,
it had
meaning. Yeah, and I did actually speak to my father for the first time in almost a year, so that was really cool. I'm glad that your dream, you know, gave me that little trigger to try to contact him once again and leave a message that compelled him enough finally.
Yeah,
maybe I had a little
awesome
tone of like, oh, you should probably call me, but yeah, I kind of tricked him into calling me like there was bad news, but it was all good news. I did need to talk to my dad. It was a short conversation, but I do thank you and your dream, and that's really cool that Anissa was able to share that. But I did have a quick question. I know you're coming to the end. For Clarissa, I really relate to a lot of the stuff that you're talking about. And you mentioned about the crystal pendulum. And I also channel with a crystal, and I'm kind of new to it. So I had a couple questions, and I do notice the more I use it, the more I don't actually need it to channel. So I know exactly what you mean about, like, your abilities evolving beyond the channel, you know, the crystal channeling. But have you ever used, like, a pendulum board or a spirit board? I was kind of curious if you'd ever done that.
I do have a pendulum board. I've used a couple of them. I did end up creating my own. I have not used an extravagant one because I know they have the ones out there that have, like, the letters and the numbers. I have been interested in using one of those to see kind of how they work. I'm told they're similar to a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Just the simple ones, the yes and no ones is usually what I've used.
Cool. Yeah, actually, I've done the same. I designed my own, and it is kind of like a Ouija board with the letters and the numbers. The numbers I don't get very great messages with, but the letters and what gets spelled out words-wise is really cool. So that blows my mind a lot. But, I was just wanting to mention the Phantomals and talk to you a little bit about the crystal channeling, and then it turns out, you know, we had that cool thing at the end with the wind chimes, so that's triple bonus.
at least I didn't call it Garanimals.
Yes, but I love Shenanimals. You should coin that, shadow animals, because, you know, some of them are more misty and colorful, so some of them are shadowy, so it's Shenanimals.
Yeah,
why
it's
not?
The Shenanimals. Right on, I know it. Well, coin
I love
that.
It.
That's going to be good. Well, thanks for calling in, Rebecca. You know how much I love you, and that you're a great person, one of my best friends, and I just wish the world for you. So thanks for calling in. We're kind of getting close to the end of the show here. And I've got some questions that I ask all of my guests, and I wanted to just throw this out here. I said I got 90 seconds left. I hope it just continues on. If we get shut down, we get shut down. But I think maybe we should just ask one question. Jen, if you die.
Yeah.
Well, you are going to die. I mean, we're all going to die. When you die, do you plan on haunting anyone after you're dead?
Yes.
Do you got a list of people?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I like to say I used to have a shit list. Now I have a haunt list. I think it's scarier. Hey, Clarissa, what do you think? After you die, you got a list of people you're going to plan on haunting?
Absolutely. I'm going to be around for a long time after death. So Yeah, just get used to me.
Thank you
She's
so
gonna be
much,
around longer.
Ladies. Yeah, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for, like, filling in. And Rebecca Smuck, if you're listening, we wish you the world. We hope you get feeling better. I know you got pneumonia, and that's a really tough thing to deal with. So thank you, ladies, for filling in for Rebecca tonight. And we will see everybody next week, same time, same place. Off the Air Radio Show is now off the air. Thank you to my guests. Thank you to my sponsors. Thank you to my listeners. And to my two beautiful children, Carter and Reagan. If you're ever lost, I will never stop looking for you.